We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be broadcasting a best of. We'll be replaying the interview with noted author and philosopher Bernard-Henri Lévy about his book and anti-Semitism. And just to let you know that Jewish Ferndale is starting a book club coming up soon. If you have any interest in it, we'll keep you posted about it. But drop us a line at jewishferndale.com, and we'll let you know about the Jewish Book Club at Jewish Ferndale, a little PSA right at the top of the hour. The portion of the week is the portion of Lech Lecha. We're talking chapter 12 and further. We're really fully ensconced into the good Bible stuff. We've already had the Genesis and the flood. Now we're living the life of Abraham. Yes, that's in this week's portion. We'll talk about that in the second half hour. We've got music of various and sundry Jewish sorts sprinkled throughout the show. We have a really flipped out Hasidic story at the end. And before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. A rocket was fired towards Israel from Gaza. The rocket landed in Gaza. No one was hurt. There was no damage. But in response, an IDF tank attacked a Hamas observation post, destroying it in Gaza. Israeli security forces captured two Arabs suspected of murdering 70-year-old Reuven Schmerling 2 weeks ago. Police initially thought the murder was due to a business dispute between Schmerling and employees at his factory. Authorities now say the murder was a premeditated act of terrorism. The wildfire in Northern California, remember that, destroyed part of Hageffen Winery, fencing, all of the agricultural equipment, a guest house, and an acre of Cabernet vines, and all the property's trees were consumed by the blaze. Interesting, Herzog, which is the largest producer of wine in California, kosher wine in California, the fire just went right around them. Amazing. Richard Thaler, a professor for the University of Chicago, is the fourth Jew to win the Nobel Prize this year. Thaler won the award for his pioneering work in the field of behavior economics. So this year, four of 12 Nobel laureates are Jewish. Okay, 33% for a world population of 0.0002%. Yeah, okay. We say we had a disappointing year this year. Anyway, a trove of 170,000 pages of Judaic and Yiddish writing was discovered in a basement in a church in Vilnius, Lithuania. Included in the find was a Yiddish copy of Sherlock Holmes and an 1836 ledger of people who study Talmud at a Talmudic society in Lithuania. And finally, Artem Dolgopia, an Israeli gymnast, won the silver medal at the World Gymnastics Championship in Montreal. It marks the best finish ever by an Israeli at the Worlds. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. I have on the line Monsieur Bernard-Henri Lévy, who's written the book The Genius of Judaism, recently translated from the French into the English. It is a pleasure to welcome you and quite an honor, Monsieur Lévy.
Thank you. A pleasure for me.
Now, when I talk to people around the town here in Detroit, and I said that I'm having Bernard-Henri Lévy on my show, it kind of didn't, no big reaction. But if there was somebody who had any tie whatsoever with France, they lived in France, they were visited France regularly, so their eyes popped out of their head and they jumped up and said, "You're having Bernard Lévy on, how, ooh, ah." So if you could just tell us about yourself before we begin the interview as to who you are.
Who I am? I am.
This is not an existentialist question.
It's a very difficult question, but I am a free spirit, free fighter, fighting for universalist values, starting from a background which is a Jewish background, starting from Jewish values. I am a Jew who implement his Judaism in the battles, in the fights, in the commitments of the world. This is who I am, basically.
Okay, I appreciate that. Our audience, our listening audience does appreciate that as well. Okay, so you've written a book. It's called The Genius of Judaism. And just to let you know, we here in Detroit, my wife and I started a new Center for Jewish Culture, and we're starting a book club. And the very first book that we are going to be reviewing in the book club is going to be The Genius of Judaism by Bernard-Henri Lévy.
Thank you, sir. I'm happy.
So when I think France, I think more anti-Semitism than I think Jewishness. Is my perception correct?
You are wrong. You are wrong because, thank God, there is also in France a very positive, affirmative, and proud Judaism. Jews in France are not only the victims of anti-Semitism, they are also people who bear on their shoulders a real stock of positive values for themselves, values for the world. No, France is not only the fatherland of anti-Semitism. It is also the fatherland of deep, strong, serious Jewish studies. And I try to be a witness of that in my book, The Genius of Judaism.
Okay, so now you start with going back to Rashi. Rashi lived about 1,000 years ago. Rashi is referred to as the primary commentary on Jewish topics, on the Bible, Chumash and Tanakh, the Gemara, on Medrash. So, you portray the tremendous contribution that Rashi meant to the development of French language, French society. Could you explain that, please, Bernard?
Yes, I can explain it, and I had to explain it also to French people, to my co-French citizens, because they did not know that. Rashi is one of the inventors of France itself. Why? Because he is one of the inventors of the French language. The French language, which I speak every day, me, BHL, which I speak a little better than my broken English, was first produced by Rashi. This is what I show in the chapter of my book to which you are alluding. So Rashi is not only the spine, the key of the Talmud. He's not only the biggest, greatest commentator of the verse since centuries and centuries. He has also this very special place in the history of France.
Okay, so now the development of a language requires more than, say, one person. I'm giving, for example, Esperanto, which a bunch of people got together and they tried to make this language, which didn't go anywhere. So how is it then that you're crediting Rashi for the development of a language? What were they speaking before Rashi?
Because he's the first one who, in Hebrew characters, wrote and put down on paper, if I dare say, the words and the sound and the tone of the French language. Without Rashi, we French would not have the slightest idea of what the French of the 11th century looked like, sounded like. This is one thing. And the other thing is that when you lay down the tone, the sound, and the words of a language, you make it work. You put it into motion. And in his Hebraic way, in his Hebrew characters and letters, this is exactly what Rashi did.
Mm-hmm. It seems pretty incredible to me still, because with the Tanakh, with the Bible, and the Talmud, how many French words are there? Maybe 500?
Much more than that. Much more than that. All the words of the everyday life for a Frenchman of this time, most of the words, designing, depicting a contract, a wedding, a work, an artisanal work, anything, was put on the paper in Hebrew letters by Rashi. This is a very little known thing, but phenomenon, which some scholars sort of discovered, and which I pushed more in this chapter of Genius of Judaism.
If you're just joining us, our guest today is Bernard-Henri Lévy, who's written a book called The Genius of Judaism. He's a noted French philosopher. So that was 1,000 years ago. How has Judaism and Jews contributed to French society and then the development of, say, Western culture? Because as France became developed, people looked at France as being like the gold standard for culture and civilization then, Bernard.
They did a lot, and their contribution was much wider than what is generally said. For example, the French idea of republic, the French idea of social contract, the French idea which is generally attributed to Jean-Jacques Rousseau of the general will, which makes a social link. When you make the genealogy of it, the archaeology of it, when you try to see where it took shape for the first time, you discover that it took shape in the books of French theoricians who were themselves inspired not by the Greek model of society, not by the Roman law, but by the pattern, by the model of the kingdom of Hebrews. This model of the second book of Samuel is the very the most important reference in all the treaties in France devoted to this idea of how to build a republic. We French and you Americans live probably under the misunderstanding that the real root of this republican idea is the Greco-Roman model, because the French Revolution said that. The French Revolution wanted to get rid with this Hebrew model and replaced it with the Greco-Roman model. But the truth is that the most important reference is certainly the reference to the kingdom of the Hebrews in the Bible. This is what made solid, vivid, vibrant the idea of republic, which is still working today in Europe.
Okay. Now, you have become somewhat of a involved with Judaic studies, and you write about various parts of the Bible that you've enjoyed and explained and see the effects of that, and even till to this day. One of the things that I've noticed is that the concept of democracy does not appear in the Bible. We have monarchies, we have socialism, we have representative governments. Democracy doesn't exist, and that seems to be in the Western world. Democracy seems to be the way to go. Would you care to comment on that, Mr. Levy?
Yes, but the idea of the critical spirit, the idea of the interpretation, the idea of the free debate, the idea of an intelligence always at work and never frozen, these are Jewish ideas, and these are components of what we call today democracy. So probably, certainly, it was not named democracy in the Jewish text. But if words means what they mean, the roots of it are certainly more in the Jewish text than in the military philosophy of Sparta, or in the philosophy admitting slavery of Athens, and so on. So there is an underestimation of the Jewish contribution to the most modern political ideas, which I tried to contradict in the Genius of Judaism.
Okay, so now your book, as it came out in English, is postmarked at Random House 2017. How long ago did the original version come out?
Original version in French came out 1 year ago. But in a way, I should say that the original version may be the American one, because I wrote this book for the American audience as much and maybe more than for the French audience. You asked me at the beginning of our conversation about French anti-Semitism. What I had in mind writing this book was also the American anti-Semitism. And I have it in mind more than ever. I think that there is also a tradition of anti-Semitism, alas, in America, and you are in the process, in the situation of seeing it, unfortunately, blooming again, a dark blooming, exactly in the way I describe in the Genius, in the chapter about anti-Semitism, in the Genius of Judaism.
Okay, so now, so continue with my question. I understand that, and that's very good. Considering with the line of thought, so you presented these theories to the French people a year ago, and I'm assuming that you spoke and lectured about your book in the course of the last year to the people in France, and informing them of ideas that may seem new to them. What effect has your book had so far in the course of a year on France and the French people?
I don't know. I hope that it gave some hope to some Jews who were desperate about France. I hope that it contributed to convince a few Jews in my country that the first to leave France should not be them, but the anti-Semites. I hope that it gave them the feeling that they cannot leave a country which they built so much and so solidly. I hope that my book, which was a bestseller here in France and more generally in Europe, gave the feeling that the France without the Jews, the Europe without the Jews, would not be France and would never have been Europe. This is my hope and my contribution. In America, which is for me at least as much important, I hope to contribute, to alert, to warn my American readers or friends on the danger of an American anti-Semitism, which is coming from the two sides, from the two parts of the political spectrum, from the left and from the right. What I say in the Genius of Judaism is that, for example, the BDS, Boycott, Disinvestment, Sanction, movement is stronger than anywhere else in some parts of America, especially the West Coast. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say in the book, and which appears to be tragically true in the last days, last weeks, is that the other anti-Semitism, the old one, the rightist one, if one dare say, is, alas, as living and in good shape in America than anywhere else. And I would like to contribute to the consciousness of that in America especially.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fascinating. Now, I've had people of various genre on the show discussing anti-Semitism, and I say somewhat tongue-in-cheek that the reason why there is anti-Semitism is because there are Semites. You know, if there wouldn't be any Jews, then there wouldn't be anybody in opposition to Jews. But
Mistake. You have some countries where you have no more anti-Semitism, no more Jews.
But they're still anti-Semites.
Still anti-Semites, and more anti-Semites, much more than in places where you have a lot of Jews. Example, Austria, huge proportion of the population feels and thinks and believes that there is too many Jews in the Austrian life. There is no Jews left. Poland today, so few Jews left. Again, the anti-Semite feeling that the Jews control the Polish society. Remember the people of in America First, in 1940. The question of anti-Semitism was not linked by any way to the number of Jews. Jews are never responsible in any way for anti-Semitism. The existence of the Jew has nothing to do, is connected by no way to the existence of anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is a madness, is a delirium, is a passion, is a religion which has its own logic.
Okay, so what then would you say is the cause of anti-Semitism, Bernard Henri Lévy?
The cause of anti-Semitism is certainly the will to erase, to eradicate this great, but in a way heavy idea of ethics, of the supremacy of the law, and of the existence of a people which is the embodiment of these universalist and humanist values. In a way, the world would be so easier to inhabit for a lot of people if there was not the remorse, if there was not the testimony of the Jews and of their values. So the anti-Semites are people who want to get rid of all this stuff, critic of idolatry, preeminence of the law, and so on.
Would you say that any of the claim of the Jews being the chosen people has a factor to it, Bernard?
They don't claim to be a chosen people. Chosen people is a word which never appears in the verse in the Bible or in the Talmud.
Ata bechartanu mikol ha'amim. I have chosen you from among all the other nations.
Absolutely, but the verse segula. Which says chosen is not chosen. There is a lot of words in Hebrew who could mean chosen. The word which is adopted is segula, which means something else, which means the treasure, and the treasure which the Jewish kings kept by themselves, without the help of it's a much more complicated story than that. And this is why I tried to disintricate, to explain in a big part of the book. But basically, what is sure is that the law was proposed to the Jew after the fact that every single other people on earth has been proposed the law and has refused. It is in despair that God proposes the law to the Jews. So they are not chosen. They come at the end of the chain because nobody else wanted to be loaded with a burden.
You're referring to the story, which we actually read in the synagogue this Shabbos yesterday, of the Almighty going around to all the nations asking if they wanted the Torah, and for whatever reason they rejected it. But the Jews said, Nasi v'nishma, we will do it and we will understand it. So that's what you're referring to.
We will do and we will listen. We will do and then we will listen. Yes, of course.
Okay, so let me...
Basically, this is that. And this is at the core of the genius of Judaism.
Understood. Okay, so now let's talk about personal a little bit. If you're just joining us... If you're just joining us, our guest today is Bernard Henri Lévy. He's The Genius of Judaism is a book that he's written. You talk about a little bit about your own person, that you were raised in a somewhat secular household, but found Judaism later on. What was it that intrigued you about Judaism, Bernard?
It is not a question of intrigue. It is a question that it made me think, it made me advance, and it helped me to fight for the values which seemed to me worth to be fought for. And very soon in my life, though I came from a secular family, very quickly, very fast, I was convinced that the Jewish text, the Jewish values, were the living heart, the beating heart of all that I thought and fought for.
Okay. Now, so what then, how would you say that the world would need to be improved? If we're going to say, like, the Jews, for example, are considered to be the dugma chayot, the living examples for the rest of the world, or the light unto the nations, which is a verse which is quoted, what do we, as the continuers of the faith, the unbroken chain since Moses, what should we be doing?
The Jews are not an example. Judaism is an example, which is something else. I, unfortunately, or maybe that is a destiny of life, the Jews are not always worth their own destiny. They are seldom at the height, at the altitude of their own message and of their own destiny. And that's what the Bible says. That is what the Bible says when it says that the rest of Israel is the very bearer, those who really have on their shoulders the treasure. So it's not a question of the Jews. The Jews can be unfaithful, the Judaism remains. And even if there was one faithful Jew, it might be in a way enough. If there was none, then it would be the very embodiment of the catastrophe. Thank you, sir, very much for this conversation. It meant the world for me. Thank you very much.
Okay. Can we ask you just one more question before you have to go? You have to go. I guess he had to go. My wife always tells me about not being abrupt when I have to leave, and thanking my guest and telling them you've won a Gnauer watch and all that kind of stuff for coming on our radio and show, but... I guess he had to go. It is actually 6 hours later over there, so I guess he had an evening thing. But you've been listening to The Jewish Hour. Our guest today was Bernard Henri Lévy. He's a French philosopher. They kind of consider him like in the line with Proust and Robespierre and Voltaire and all those other people along the lines. The book is The Genius of Judaism. It's by Random House, Penguin Random House to be exact. And we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. 9800. Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. I found that to be a very inspiring interview. Yes. Award-winning. Yeah. Mr. Levy is definitely a personality, as we said in the interview. Anyway, up next, this is brand new. This is actually a Simchas Torah song, and this is Avram Fried singing Al HaSelahach. It has to do with Sukkos, because Sukkos is deemed the new year for water. When water is appropriated, it's what areas will get what water. And this verse, Al HaSelahach Vayetze Mayim, has to do with Moses when he was told to hit the rock and water would come out. Let's listen.
Alla sela ha ha, alla sela ha ha, alla sela ha ha, va it's my. Alla sela ha ha, alla sela ha ha, alla sela ha.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We got a little klezmer. This is brand new. The group is called Kasabek. It is a Lithuanian group. We're talking about the find of Yiddish writings in a church in Lithuania before in Vilna. So this group is actually from Lithuania. It's called Kasabek. And this song is called Dziękuję, which in Lithuanian, Polish, and I don't know how many other languages means thank you.
Thank you. Sevastopol ist nicht weit von Simferopol, dort ist Astanzia verrückt. Wer darf suchen, nahe klicken, ist Astanzia an Antiku, in Jankoye, Jan, Jan, Jan. Hey Jan, hey Jankoye, Jan, Bibi, hey Jankoye, hey Jankoye, Jan, Jan, Jan. Hey Jan, hey Jankoye, hey Jan, Bibi, hey Jankoye, hey Jankoye, Jan, Jan, Jan. Entfört jeden Affmann Kasche, wo's mein Bruder, wo's er brasch ist, geht bei ihm der Traktor wie er baum. Die Mummelei bei der Kursilke, bei der Badamalotil, den Jankoye, Jan, Jan, Jan. Hey Jan, hey Jankoye, hey Jan, Mili, hey Jankoye, hey Jankoye, Jan, Jan, Jan. Hey Jan, hey Jankoye, hey Jan, Mili, hey Jankoye, hey Jankoye, Jan, Jan, Jan. Jeden kennen Handeln, essen fette Joich mit Manteln, nur nicht sein kein Arbeitsmann. Das kennen suchen nur die Sonne, im jeden Schweizer on im Pony, tu da guckert Jan, Jan, Jan. Hey Jan, hey Jankoye, hey Jamili, hey Jankoye, hey Jankoye, Jan, Jan, Jan. Hey Jan, hey Jankoye, hey Jamili, hey Jankoye, hey Jankoye, Jan, Jan, Jan. Hey John, Billy, hey John, Koye, hey John, Koye, John, John, John. Hey John, hey John, Koye, hey John, Billy, hey John, Koye, hey John, Koye, John, John, John.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, Schlockrock has a new song out. It's actually a whole new project that they're doing. This song is called Shabbat Is Ready. And of course, it's a parody of some hip-hop song that I'm not exactly familiar with myself, as I don't listen to hip-hop music per se. But I think it's a really cool song. Let's listen in.
It's Friday afternoon and we all belong, feeling debonair, put my best clothes on. It's Shabbat night, I'm in synagogue. Since you lit the candles, all the laws we heed. We don't need cash, we don't need cash, just be with my family. Maybe I want to sing me wrong, it's Shabbat tonight.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Barry Schultzman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Lech Lecha. It can be found in the book of Genesis, chapter 12 and following. And it depicts and details the earlier, I wouldn't say escapades, but ordeals would be a better word, of the patriarch Abraham. I mean, the portion starts out, it mentions starting last week that Abraham, it's alluded to, got thrown into a furnace and walked out. And then in this week's portion, he's told, I think, by the Almighty, it'd be a good idea if you moved out of town. You know, you got thrown into a furnace, you got saved. It's like, don't push it. You know, so, but Abraham at this point had already developed a very large following of monotheists. You have to remember that at this time, we're talking 4,000 years ago, the world's population, which probably numbered maybe several million, maybe, were polytheists, to be nice. They were idolaters, with certain small pockets here and there of monotheists. You had Shem, who was Noah's son, was a monotheist, and Aver, who was his son, was a monotheist. And then Noah was around till Abraham was 52 years old. He was a monotheist. And then there was Abraham. And that was pretty much it. So Abraham was really concerned about leaving. I mean, here, this is like you tell somebody, pick yourself up and go. But this is where I live. There is a rule. I think we spoke about this. I don't remember with whom. About maybe the last year or so, about the need for people to relocate and become a refugee. The only thing which will spur a person to leave everything behind, to become a refugee in a country where they have no idea what's waiting for them, is if their present domicile is worth less than moving. In other words, it has to be, they have to think in their minds, if I stick around, it's not going to be as good as if I move, and therefore I am going to move. So, I mean, you look at the migration through the waves of Jews that came in this country from the 1880s to the 1930s. All those people couldn't make a living in Europe, and they all came here. The people who had it fine, unfortunately, they all died in the Holocaust, which is an interesting turn of events and fate that, you know, if you didn't believe in divine providence and this type of thing. So the Almighty made it such that those people who couldn't make a living in Europe picked themselves up and they were saved. But I tell people, I have no third cousins. They're no. My grandparents, great-grandparents, relatives, nah, gone. Totally non-existent. So here it is. Abraham's told, go. But he's not told go, which would be lech, which some people do call the portion of lech, which means go. The portion is called. You look at the top of any page of any Chumash, any Pentateuch, any Bible, as to what the name of the portion is, it's lech lecha, which means go for yourself, which means it's going to be better for you. So what are we getting out of this? We mirror, our lives mirror those people in the Bible. I wouldn't say to the magnanimous proportion, I haven't heard of people, thank God, getting thrown into furnaces and or being miraculously saved and walking out of furnaces. But the Almighty is the one who's directing it. And the Almighty's saying, wherever you're going to go, whatever's going to happen to you now, that's good for you. That's lech lecha, go for yourself. It doesn't even require Kabbalistic interpretation. Rashi, the simple commentary, says that normally when a person travels, they lose money, they lose a name, they have no reputation in the no place that's going on, it's injurious to their health, all this traveling around. God promised Abraham, don't worry, you're not going to lose any money, your fame is going to grow, and you'll finally have a family, you'll have kids. So whatever it is that we're doing, you should know that we're not just taking that next step on our own initiative, but all of us are living the Lech Lecha. The Almighty says, right now you have to be in this place, but the next step, you got to be in someplace else. And when you're going to go to that next place, it's going to be better than where you were in the last place. The word better is, well, better for who? I think where I was pretty good, and this doesn't seem to be as good. But given the overall, the total picture, meaning the grand scheme of the entire creation. Remember, we're just one very small cog. We're not even a cog. We're maybe a tooth or the end of the tooth of a cog. And this great mechanism called creation. And every detail of that creation makes the creation run. So everything that we're doing has that importance. And wherever we find ourselves, it's Lech Lecha. It's where the Almighty is directing us. We are going to take a quick commercial break and be right back. Don't go away. We've got the Hasidic story coming up. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Would you like to get in touch with me? Best way, go to my website, rabbifinman.com. RabbiFinman.com, you'll find a way to contact me right on the homepage. You'll also find archived editions of the radio show, archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, which are different media in which I convey ideals, morals, and insights into Judaism in an educational and hopefully entertaining way. You'll also find classes. I have the Book of Tanya, which is the primer, the basic Jewish philosophy book. It took me from 2009, weekly, from 2009 until 2016 to, no, 2017, excuse me, beginning of the year, 2017. It took 6 years and change to go through the whole entire book on a weekly basis, an hour and change a week. And that's posted there, and it's done. I didn't water it down. It's all very deep stuff, but we tried to make it understandable. There's also the donations page. You'll be happy to know that August has been paid. We just have to do September and October, and I'm promising that if we get October paid for before the end of October, I don't make the appeal. But I'm very happy that people like yourselves, the listeners to the Jewish Hour, who think that the radio show is important enough that it continue. We're 21 years, we're doing this every single week. And people think it's worth it. It's very humbling to me. Every donation that I get, even if it's a $5 donation, yes, I'm impressed that someone would go out of their way to donate money on a regular basis and or even a big time, one-time donation. Also, there's lots of charities out there. The Jewish Hour is a charity. It's part of a 501c3 corporation. It's tax deductible. You got to start thinking end of year getting there. We're in October. You got in December and November, December to get those for tax deductions in before for the year 2017 on your taxes. It counts towards your Meiser, towards your tithing, and it will ensure that the Jewish Hour will continue on into the future because of people specifically like you. Our sponsors do help in part. Radio broadcasting is very expensive, especially on, this is Salem Communications, it's the most powerful station in the Detroit Hour. 50,000 watts is all the FCC, thank you, that's the right organization, will allow to be used in this country. And this station, 1500 on your AM dial, is 50,000 watts, 92.1, if you're listening on the FM, is a standard FM station. I don't even know how far it goes. I should look that up. But you're listening now in stereo if you're on the FM, 92.7 FM. So do it today. Go to RabbiFinman.com. Click on the donations. Make it a monthly thing. You could do that too. And if you do not like internet giving, that's fine. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. And we will appreciate it. And all the donations are graciously acknowledged. Just ask anybody who's given. I've written a thank you note to everybody who ever gave any amount. So we've got a story. What does it involve? I heard the story of the Simchas Torah and forgot to do it last week, so we'll do it this week. So the Israeli embassy would send representatives for Simchas Torah because the Israelis kept one day of Yom Tov, so they would drive to Brooklyn from Manhattan and participate in the Hakafis, in the celebration, and the Rebbe would show them special attention. So there was one guy who was not really interested. And he was a security guard and the driver. And he said, "You guys wait and I'll just stay outside." He didn't think it was going to take hours and hours and hours. So he got a little bored. So he figured what's going to go and he'll see some old men holding some Torahs and walking around. He did not expect to see 10,000 people joyously dancing and celebrating. As he kind of pushed himself in, he wanted to see this Rebbe person that they were talking about. The Rebbe and he locked eyes. And the Rebbe motioned for him to come forward to him. Now, this is not an easy feat. You got 10,000 people in a room that's meant to hold 2,000. I know. There was one time that it was so many people, and it was raining outside, and people were schwitzing so much, it formed a cloud, and it started to rain inside. I'm not even exaggerating. That's how crowded it was inside. He came up, and the Rebbe said, "Say l'chaim." So he said to L'chaim, and he was really mad because he thought that the his friends had like set him up to meet this rabbi person. And he got very mad about the whole deal. And he told them, "I'm very mad about it." They said, "We didn't say anything. Go talk to him." So he scheduled an appointment. This is in the early 70s when the Rebbe was still giving private audiences. And he asked the Rebbe, "How come you had me say L'chaim to have a drink when I came into the shul?" He said, "On Simchas Torah, we say L'chaim. I saw you. I motioned to you to say L'chaim. It's a normal thing. You were my guest. I took care of you." So then he started talking. And this person figured, okay, here comes the sermon. The rabbi's going to give me a sermon. He's going to tell me to do this. He's going to tell me to do that commandment. I should stop eating that and stop that. The security guard was an expert in judo, jiu-jitsu, karate, and Krav Maga. And so the Rebbe started asking him questions about, okay, so you've got, if you were just a master in one, so you'd know it, but how do you know when to do judo? How do you know to do jiu-jitsu? When do you do Krav Maga? And he started asking him questions. And the Rebbe started suggesting to him various different stretching exercises. He had this whole lesson of how to be a better black belt, basically. The man was just totally blown away. Nothing about keeping mitzvahs, nothing about anything. About 2 weeks later, one of the members of the embassy needed a driver. So he walked into the man's office and he walked out shocked. Here was this security guard who, till this now, had said, "I had never been in a synagogue in my life," was standing there with tallis and tefillin praying the morning prayers. And then later he was asked, could you come with us to this restaurant? He said, I don't eat in such restaurants. They're not kosher. And he eventually even became Sabbath observant and today lives in Jerusalem and is a proud family, father of a large extended family. That's going to do it for you. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you next week. Take care.